Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, December 10th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. A number of Southeast leaders are upset about the governor's plan to scale back the Alaska-class ferry project. He made his announcement Tuesday in Ketchikan. Legislators and members of an advisory board say they should have been consulted first. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
You can tell a project's in trouble when its website gets pulled off the net. That's what happened to the Alaska-class ferry, which had a site including design elements, public comments, and other information. It's down because Governor Sean Parnell ordered an end to work on the 350-foot vessel and begin design of smaller, less expensive ferries. The announcement surprised Senator Dennis Egan, a Juneau Democrat who was among those pushing to fund the original project.
We're all upset that we weren't informed way early in this process about what they were going to do and different scenarios that they were trying to come up with. I mean, we didn't have a clue.
And it's not just the timing. Representative Beth Kurtula, another Juneau Democrat, says the new plan doesn't make sense.
This is a real change of direction, and frankly, I'm not on board, and I'm kind of talking to the other members of the Southeast delegation and doubt many of them, if any, are either.
The governor said change was needed because price estimates rose by up to 40%. Ferry officials had warned the approximately $120 million was not enough.
The new contemplated design is more of a streamlined, simple vessel.
Captain Mike Newsell is the State Transportation Department's Deputy Commissioner for Marine Operations. That means he runs the ferry system.
The cost savings will come in the simplicity of no crew quarters, smaller overall vessel, and less amenities in terms of what the vessel contains.
Other design elements, such as food service and quiet rooms for the sick and elderly, are also off the table. Some of those features were meant to allow the ship more flexibility so it could service more routes. Many of the state's vessels are old, and the Alaska-class ferry was part of the replacement plan. Kurtula worries changing direction will push back the construction date.
This really delays us, right? And that's maybe more than anything something that aggravates me. You know, we've been working hard, we were up and running, it was going on, and now here we are with a delay.
The state will keep its architect, Seattle's Elliott Bay Design Group, and it will continue working with its expected builder, Ketchikan's Alaska Ship and Dry Dock. Newsell says contracts will have to be renegotiated before work can start.
The design process for the new ship won't be as complicated as the Alaska-class ferry, so shouldn't take as long to get to the full detailed design on that. But I doubt that it'll be done by next July when the Alaska-class ferry design was supposed to be done.
The governor called for building two smaller ships with the money appropriated for the one larger vessel. Both would operate in Lynn Canal, connecting Haines, Skagway, and Juneau. That's the same route as was planned for the larger ship. The Malaspina, which carries about 90 vehicles per sailing, now covers much of the busy summer season. Egan says the new ship's projected 40-vehicle capacity is not enough.
Well, hell! You know how many vehicles get on in Juneau and go to Skagway and Haines in the summer? Those ships are full.
The chairman of Parnell's Marine Transportation Advisory Board says the announcement caught him by surprise, too. Robert Venables of Haines calls it, quote, a very disappointing and dramatic change of direction. He's traveling and couldn't be reached by phone, but via email, he said the last board meeting, about a month ago, included no hint of a redesign. He's not alone in his surprise.
It's not the direction that we were looking at, and we have been, you know, working on for quite a while.
Skagway's Mike Korsmo serves on the Marine Transportation Advisory Board. He wonders whether a smaller ship could handle the strong winds and rough waters of Lynn Canal winters.
When we look at the Laffitt class, we're looking at for the weather conditions, what the routes that it was going to run, and the capacity that it would need to handle. And so if we're going to smaller vessels, then I definitely have to take a serious look at, you know, how that's going to work.
Despite their concerns, both board members say they'll work with the governor and the legislature toward a new design. One reason Parnell gave for the change is to make sure new ferries are built at the Ketchikan shipyard.
That was just wonderful to hear his recommitment to build the ferries here in the state.
Alaska Ship and Dry Docks' Doug Ward says about 170 people work at the facility. He expects other shipbuilding jobs, so any ferry construction delays won't affect the workforce.
It's a state-owned shipyard. These are state-owned vessels. These are Alaskans building the vessels. And that was one of the primary goals, to create new employment opportunities in year-round family wage careers and to attract new investment.
Further discussion of the new plan will take place once the legislative session begins and the Ferry Advisory Board holds its next meeting. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Shellfish farmers in Alaska need seed, and a Ketchikan facility is gearing up to meet that demand. KRBD's Layla Carey has more.
Ocean's Alaska Marine Science Center completed its first season of operation this year, successfully producing hundreds of thousands of shellfish seed. Barbara Morgan, research and training specialist, says the first year was successful enough that the Ketchikan-based center is expanding operations.
This year we ended up with about 300,000 oyster seed, which seems like a lot, but the demand is in the millions in Alaska. Not only is the demand really big in Alaska, we were receiving calls from British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, and as far south as Southern California.
Roger Painter of the Alaska Shellfish Growers Association agrees there's a seed shortage.
We estimate the industry got about 40% of what it needed this year, and last year the figure was at 48%.
Painter says the expanded production next year should meet the current demand. There's one other shellfish hatchery in Alaska, Aleutic Pride in Seward. That facility, too, plans to expand. The shortage appears to be the result of ocean acidification. Oceans Alaska will continue with seed production at its current facility for at least one more season to help satisfy demand in Alaska alone. But Morgan says it won't be enough.
Demand is growing. The mariculture industry, we would like to have, it wants to grow. It's kind of at a tipping point right now. Either it grows and gets past the seed shortage issue, or it may tip back, and we don't want it to tip back. So we would like to actually build a bigger facility, 3 or 4 times bigger.
The planned new facility would produce up to 50 million oyster seed and 1 million geoduck seed for Alaska shellfish farmers. Morgan says that industry has big potential, especially for people in small coastal communities.
It's a great economic development potential here in Southeast Alaska in particular. Small communities out in the middle of nowhere, which I'm from one of them, so I can say that.
Which one are you from?
I grew up in Edna Bay. So, and then Nocatee, Kaufman Cove, you know, a lot of small places have oyster farmers around them already, Cake, Huna, wherever, but they need to have the support to really grow, and this could actually be the economic support for some of those small communities that are kind of in an economic slump right now.
Painter says there are 75 permits for shellfish farms in Alaska, but only about 25 of those are active. Of the active permits, about 15 are in Southeast.
But there are a number of additional farms in Southeast that aren't selling yet, but have animals in the water and are moving in that direction.
For example, Huna and Angoon are developing new oyster farms. Painter says they and others all will need seed. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
The Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies is nearing the finish line on one of its marine debris art pieces, which is destined for the Dena'ina Center in Anchorage in February. Hannah Heimbach visited the Coastal Studies workshop for more.
So what exactly does 12,000 pounds of marine debris look like? You can find the answer to that by visiting the Center for Alaskan Coastal Studies workshop space out East End Road, where staff and volunteers have been collecting, cleaning, and repurposing beach garbage since May. Buoys, styrofoam, and plastic bottles are some of the common finds, while a few odd collections come from container spills, like the hammock full of Nerf balls, a row of 12 industrial sprayers, and the wall hung with metal water bottles. Special Program Coordinator Patrick Chandler has been leading the project, from collection and cleaning to creative construction. He said the Coastal Walk brought in 3,000 pounds of debris this year.
I kind of figured out where the pockets of debris were. Around Glacier Spit, there's quite a few places where it accumulates. So we took about 7,000 pounds out last year. This year, I went back to those same places, and there wasn't huge reaccumulation rates. Luckily, debris from the Japan tsunami event hasn't really come into Kachemak Bay, but if you swing around the corner at all, it's there.
The workshop's growing collection of debris is slowly being transformed into art, from a giant jellyfish nearing completion to a flock of murres whose plastic feathers are still being crafted. Artist Angela Posse is helping to design and execute the art pieces, including the 12-foot-tall, 6-foot-wide jellyfish sculpture destined for display during February's Alaska Forum on the Environment at the Dena'ina Center in Anchorage.
It includes hundreds of water bottles that have been found on our coastline.
The jelly isn't the only large piece in the workshop. One corner boasts a colorful gyre inspired by the artist that initially led Chandler to create this project.
In spring 2011, I met an artist at the International Marine Debris Conference in Hawaii who had been doing large-scale marine debris art in Oregon for a number of years and had done some pretty incredible things. One of the things that she did was make this, which is a marine debris gyre meant to simulate the North Pacific gyre that's kind of between Hawaii and California, where you've got a kind of stagnant area of ocean that's collecting a lot of the junk in the Pacific.
Chandler hopes that the process of debris collection and the resulting art pieces will be a long-term way to help communities understand the volume and impact of garbage in the ocean and on beaches, as well as being a positive way to repurpose thousands of pounds of debris. Over the last 7 months, multiple school groups and dozens of local volunteers have filtered through the workshop to lend a hand.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Here in Sitka, today expect patchy fog in the morning, rain likely, then rain heavy at times in the afternoon. Highs around 41. You're listening to KCAW Sitka.